Time now to tackle what's happening at the owners' meetings by going to our hotline and bring in the outstanding Browns beat reporter, 92.3 The Fan, the Browns Radio Network. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Right or Wrong Fan. He is Daryl Ryder. And Daryl, let's start with the Browns side of it first, and then we'll get to some of these rule changes and everything that's going on with the owners' meetings. Andrew Berry spoke today. I'm curious, what stuck out for you as to what Andrew had to say to members of the media today with the Browns?
Well, I'm not in Orlando, so I just know what has been, posted. I think obviously the most important element is the Nick Chubb news, and that, you know, he could start doing some running here soon, and how that progresses in the, the coming weeks and months will depend, or determine, I should say, how close he'll be for the regular season. I don't think he's going to be ready week one. I think that that is an unrealistic expectation. It will be, as Barry said, it'll give them a better indication of where Chubb is and what his potential availability could be.
One of the other things he talked about that I read like you was with wide receiver Jerry Jeudy and why they extended him, because he was trying to forecast the market and thinking this would end up being a steal. Do you like that?
Yeah, I do. And let's be honest about it. Barry's been pretty good with the forecasting of the market. When it comes to the salary cap increase, it went up over $30 million, right? They haven't touched Deshaun's contract either. They haven't done a restructure this offseason. And I think that that's a very, very big deal. But look at the Myles Garrett contract. That he's vastly underpaid now when you compare it to the current market. So that was a great team-friendly type of deal. So if Jeudy comes in and does what they expect him to do, and believe he can do, yeah, I think as they go through this contract, it'll ultimately be a very team-friendly thing. And, you know, we'll see what they ultimately do with Amari Cooper. Do they extend him or restructure him to lower his cap figure or whatever? I'm in favor of an extension. I think Amari's been tremendous here. I don't know that $20 million a year is where he should be at, but based on his performance the last 2 years, it's hard to argue against that.
All right, D, how about the big question? What are they thinking bringing back Cade York and why?
Because they always carry two kickers in the offseason.
So that's just it as an insurance policy, not to really compete for the job with, what's the guy? Out of sight, out of mind.
Dustin
Who's
Hopkins.
The kicker? Dustin Hopkins. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. So, no, I don't foresee them bringing Cade York back as any type of a competition or direct threat or anything like that. Again, just like the quarterbacks, they usually carry four quarterbacks in the offseason. In this case, they also carry two kickers. So York is obviously familiar with the Browns, previously drafted by them, but just gives them a second leg for the offseason here.
Daryl, does it surprise you at all that the running back in the National Football League seems to be on the back page anymore, and especially as it pertains to what they're getting paid?
No, because that's just how the NFL is when it comes to certain positions. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't accuse anyone of colluding, but it's hard not to when you talk about the running back position, right? And they take more abuse than, you know, receivers. Yep. Like, of the skill positions, they take the most abuse. And their careers are much shorter. So I think something needs to be done to allow these guys to get paid, a fair market value. Because to me, $12, $13, $14 million for a top-tier running back just isn't fair. I realize life isn't fair, but considering the shortened career that these running backs have, I don't know if the solution is that that particular position group gets a shorter rookie contract and let them get the free agency faster or what. But I just feel like that it's very unfair how running backs are being treated financially. I mean, look at Nick Chubb, right? I mean, granted, he did get a contract extension from the Browns, which obviously good, but You know, look at the catastrophic injury that he suffered, and, you know, the impact that that's going to have, the negative impact, I should say, that that's going to have on him financially going forward. You know, he's going to have to prove himself, right? He's 28 years old. The odds of him getting another, you know, nice bite at the apple are slim to none. So it really is unfortunate. I thought Chubb's comments at the Greenbrier during training camp last year were really on point. The whole fiasco with the Giants and Saquon Barkley, you know, he's the guy. He's the only player the Giants have to promote on their team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, on social media and stuff like that, and they didn't want to pay the kid. I think that that's a very unfortunate situation and completely unfair.
Whether or not it's just undervalued, we'll say, in the NFL, it seems as though it's also going to be undervalued when the draft comes around. I was reading the other day. I mean, obviously, it's rich in quarterback. If you think the top six or seven, whatever happened in the first round, it's rich at wide receiver. If the Browns stay pat at number 54, and it looks as though no running back is going to be taken in the first round, maybe even the second round, could the Browns be looking at running back at number 54?
I would not if I were them, to be perfectly honest with you. And that is not a slight on the position. They got other needs, man. Like, they could have an offensive line need. They have a linebacker need. Mm. They have defensive tackle need, just from the standpoint of they don't have any real young, long-term defensive tackles, right? Everyone seems to be on these 1 to 2 year contracts right now. So they got other needs that is not running back right now. And when you look at, again, to your point, how that particular position group is valued in the NFL, it doesn't make fiscal sense for the Browns to spend the 54th overall pick on another running back. And again, I realize I'm saying that, understanding that I think Chubb was either 32 or 34 mm-hmm. When he was in that range. It doesn't make sense right now because of their roster and how they built. And also, too, keep in mind, they're going to a pass-heavy offense, okay? So why would you invest in a position group with your highest piece of draft capital that you're not really emphasizing offensively, at least in the present team configuration? So I would be floored if they took a running back with their first draft pick.
Great points by Daryl Ryder. You can catch him on a daily basis at Twitter, at Right or Wrong Fan, on Instagram, at Right or Wrong Fan, and, of course, 92.3 The Fan, the Browns Radio Network. And, D, what about moving up or down in the draft? You mentioned their first pick is 54, and the final year where they don't have a first-round pick because of the Deshaun Watson trade. Do they just stand pat at 54, take best player available or fill a need, or could you see them move up or move down?
I think that it's going to be hard for them to move around a lot now because they only have five draft picks now, following the Jerry Jeudy trade. So that for me changes their ability. Now I'm team trade all the fifth, sixth and seventh round picks you can trade. I'm in that camp. But I don't foresee them being able to do a lot because, again, they're down to five draft picks in this upcoming draft. And where they are right now, they don't need a big rookie class. They didn't need a big rookie class last year. They certainly don't need one this year. I would say in 2025, they need a bigger rookie class because you gotta keep that Ferris wheel of talent moving, right? But right now, I think that probably standing pat is what they might be left to just because, again, the Jerry Jeudy trade left them with those five selections.
Daryl, how are they as far as the cap is concerned? Are they under? I mean, they have to be under before
I mean, they're under. They have to be. That's league policy. You're in the new league year.
Right.
Now. You cannot operate above the cap.
Enough to spend on maybe somebody that's worthwhile or no?
Well, I think they're done.
Okay.
I do. I think that they're done with major moves in free agency. That's not to say that an opportunity can't come up. Remember, they traded for Za'Darius Smith in the middle of May.
Mm-hmm.
They signed Shelby Harris in early August, I believe. So Andrew Berry's always going to be keeping his eye and his pulse on markets, and if opportunities, you know, should arise, I can see him pouncing. And cap space isn't going to be an issue. You can do restructures and all those things to create what you need to maneuver the roster. So I'm not even worried about their salary cap space. They're trying to win football games, not collect cap space. Those days are over.
Good.
I do feel like, though, this is the team that they're going to field in 2024, barring a major development on the trade market that Berry can jump on.
Daryl, DeJuan Jones was brought up to Andrew Berry today as a possibility to play left tackle. And I found it interesting that Andrew Berry phrased it, and I'm paraphrasing here, this way. He looks at left tackle and right tackle as basically the same position almost because they move the edge guys around so much. Do you buy that? And where do you think Jones fits into that offensive line for the upcoming season?
Well, I do buy it because that is absolutely Andrew Berry's philosophy, and you know that he's not just giving lip service to that. And I certainly understand, you know, where he's coming from. They, you know, they bounce Myles Garrett around on the defensive line at times to create favorable matchups. As far as where DeJuan fits, I think he's the number three tackle right now, and it's not a talent issue. It is a business of football issue. They're paying Jed Wills this year $13 million on the final year, that fifth-year option of his rookie deal, Kenny. They are not going to sit that guy. And Jack Coughlin, they just extended him. He comes back healthy. They're not going to sit him either. DeJuan Jones is making a couple hundred grand. So I think, and injury history being what the injury history is for both Coughlin and Jed Wills, I think people need to chill out. You're going to see DeJuan Jones on the field at some point this season just because of attrition. So he's the number three tackle in my view. I cannot foresee them sitting their top two paid offensive tackles. I can't see it. And I say that recognizing how well DeJuan Jones played last year and whatnot. I think that DeJuan Jones settles in as a starter in 2025.
We're going to work our way towards some of these rule changes as far as it pertains to the kickoff. Yeah. But, Daryl, what are your thoughts on renovating or building a new stadium? Because that keeps coming up, too.
Well, it keeps coming up because, well, the clock is ticking, and they don't have a plan in place. And they have that purchase agreement for the 176 acres of land, the old Ford plant across from Cleveland Hopkins International Airport. Now, what's interesting is the Chicago Bears went ahead, and they bought a former racetrack outside the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And they paid big chunk of money for over 300 acres of land. And they have announced that they're going to go ahead and stay in downtown Chicago and build a dome south of Soldier Field. Okay. So there's a lot of moving pieces and parts right now. I can tell you a couple of things. One, the city of Cleveland knows exactly what the Browns want to do as far as the existing stadium goes. Renovation plans have already been submitted to the city. They have proposed a 50-50 split with the city as far as public-private money. It's $1 billion to $1.2 billion to renovate it. I did an extensive Q&A, posted an extensive Q&A today on the stadium situation. If people want to go and read it, shameless self-promotion there, that answers a lot of questions regarding the stadium situation. I believe the Haslams in their heart of hearts would like to build a new dome. It would give them a better location. Also would give them opportunities for additional revenue, especially when it comes to parking, because right now they don't enjoy any of that kind of stuff. Also, the development around the stadium. Well, if they do the development around the current stadium, the Browns aren't going to control any of that. Well, they build a dome, the Browns can control the development around the stadium and reap those financial rewards as well. So I think that what the Haslams would like to do, new dome, but they don't want to foot the bill for the whole thing. And, you know, they're still giving the city of Cleveland an opportunity to keep them down by the lakefront.
All right, Daryl, owners meetings are happening in Orlando. Some rule changes, some other changes are happening. I want to start with this trade deadline getting moved back to the end of week number 9. Your thoughts on that? A lot of teams wanted it moved back to, I think, after week 10. The Steelers proposed week 9. The league went with what the Steelers' proposal was over the other teams. Give me your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it really chaps me that the Steelers beat the Browns again, because it was the Browns that proposed the extension of the trade deadline to week 10, and they went with the Steeler option. So I thought that was very rude of the NFL. I like it. The NFL is trying to balance allowing teams the opportunity, contending teams the opportunity to improve their team, but also what they don't want to create is an environment of a fire sale as well, right? And, the tanking. So I think that that's the happy medium. The Browns and others asking for week 10, the compromise, the Steelers say week 9. That seems like a pretty fair compromise. And again, I really like that. I like the fact that the NFL trade deadline has become more active, similar to, I think Major League Baseball's trade deadline is just phenomenal. I think the NFL, or I should say the NBA's trade deadline, it's fun, right? And the reason it's fun is because there's player movement. Stuff happens.
Right.
Well, the NFL trade deadline historically has been rather meh. Well, we know how much the NFL loves their 24/7, 365 news cycle, and even though they're in season, if they can, create more action both on and off the field, they're going to do it. And I think them bumping the trade deadline back a little bit here to post week 9, I think that helps create even more action.
Yeah, I like it too. I'm with you, Dara. That always makes the season a lot more fun, I should say. And so a thumbs up. And Daryl, do you think if they go to 18 games, it'll get moved back another week?
I think that that's where. Yeah, and they're going to go to 18 games. The question is, when are they going to 18 games? I mean, we found out today they're going to play 2 games on a Wednesday because it's Christmas. They're taking Christmas away from the NBA. And the teams that play on Christmas are going to have to play on Saturday too. So please tell me more about player safety. That's just beyond absurd to me, but that it's still – the same as the play on Sunday, play on Thursday schedule. So it's not a surprise the NFL is doing that. And I don't know, at some point we're going to get a 7-day-a-week game schedule.
Sure, yeah.
That's the cynic in me, right? That, the NFL is going to try and play games 7 days a week at some point the way they're going. But, yeah, 2 more games on Christmas this year. Can't wait to see that.
Got to keep those gambling devices in business.
Well, I think we've had enough gambling news.
I know.
Not so good kind of gambling news in the last 48 hours, that's for sure.
Yeah. Daryl Ryder, our guest, you can follow him on Twitter, @RyderWrongFan on Instagram, @RyderWrongFan, and of course hear him on 92.3 The Fan, as well as the Browns Radio Network. And give another plug, Daryl, for the podcast that you and Andy Baskin do.
Oh yeah, we got it's always game day in Cleveland. Little pause, we're tweaking some things with it, but we'll be back at it here soon. So we'll get that fired up as we get deeper into the off season.
All right, what about the kickoff rule, Daryl? This is just me, and maybe now that I'm 60, I'm an old grumpy man. Here's my thought on kickoffs. There are too many penalties on kickoff returns, very few touchdowns on kickoff returns. So let's just start the ball at the 25 or 30-yard line anyway. So I had no problem with the touchbacks, Daryl. Now they're trying to create excitement by changing this rule and making the kickers kick between the goal line and the 20-yard line. Where do you come out on all of this?
Yeah, I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. I'm old school. I miss the old kickoffs. I loved watching Josh Cribbs return kickoffs. And I have news for the NFL. You're a violent sport. People get hurt. Mm-hmm. And I hate to sound so cold and callous about it, but that's just reality. Injuries do happen. And that's just the cost of doing business, provided that the cause of those injuries are not the result of a malicious act on the part of an opponent, right? You can't sneeze on a quarterback. You can't breathe on a wide receiver. Now you're not allowed to tackle. I guess if someone gets from behind you, you're not allowed to lunge and grab them. Cause if you grab them at the waist and you pull them down, that's going to get you either a penalty or a fine letter the next day. I mean, it's, At some point, they're going to go to two-hand touch. And, you know, the reaction from players to some of these rules changes has not been very positive. But, yeah, I need to see the new kickoff rules here. You know, I like the idea of having two returners back there. I hate the you have to tell them that you're going to do an onside kick. I think that's just beyond stupid to me, right?
Yep.
I mean, what's next? If you want to run a reverse, you got to tell the defense, hey, we're going to run a reverse here, so get ready. I think that takes some competitive element out of it, right? But I get what they're trying to do. I don't know that it's going to be successful. But what they are trying to get away from is similar to a couple years ago, Kenny. Remember, they moved the extra point back because it just became such a performative, automatic type of a play. And now, what do? We're paying attention to extra points now because there are misses with it get moved back. So what they were finding is people were just not even paying attention to kickoffs because I forget the numbers, but you know, it just the overwhelming majority of them were touchbacks, and there was no action there. So they're trying to create action. They're trying to create it as safely as possible. Hence the hybrid, the XFL, UFL, whatever rules that they came up with here. And again, I'm curious to see it in action in the upcoming season.
Yeah, I'm just old and grumpy then, I guess. Daryl,
you're not the only one, Kenny.
Yeah. For me, it just slows the game down. Kickoff, return, flag, block in the back. All right, let's move it back. Now you're starting inside the 20. I would
don't
just you know
the
be happy.
Break before and after the kickoff now. Dude,
that too.
Right?
Yeah, that's right, Daryl. So for me, you know what? Let's just put it. Do you want us to kick off or do you just want it at the 30? We'll take it at the 30. Let's go then. Start the offense. That would be my adjustment to it. So maybe I'll make that proposal for next year after this doesn't go so well this year. We'll see. Daryl, you were at the – we'll change gears real quick here before we let you go. You were at the Cavs game last night. The Marcus Morris forearm shiver, elbow, whatever, wake his teammates up maybe yesterday. He got ejected for it. What was the reaction there and people that you talked to when it happened?
He made it very clear in the locker room after the game. He's sending a message to his teammates because what is the Cavalier reputation, Kenny?
Yep.
They're soft as Charmin, right?
Yep.
They don't intimidate anybody. No one's afraid to go in the paint and go after them. Jared Allen is a double-double machine, but he does not often impose his physical force on opponents. And I don't mean that in a violent way, but just you know, in the way that the game allows, right? So what Marcus Morris is trying to do is he's going to be the enforcer. He and Tristan Thompson, they're going to be the enforcers. They're going to be the ones say, you're going to think twice about coming in the paint, especially when I'm on the floor. And that's what happened last night. As Morris said after the game, he wasn't trying to hurt anybody, but he was trying to deliver a bit of a message. Got the Cavs bench fired up. I think they ended the half on like a 24-10 run. J.B. Bickerstaff, Jared Allen, Morris, everyone in the locker room talked about after the game how that really got their attention and fired them up, even though, again, you're not endorsing an act that gets you ejected from a game. But the fact of the matter is, that – you need that every once in a while. You got to knock someone on their butt in the paint. Like, I'm a little old school there. You can do it in a way that's not malicious and it isn't going to hurt anybody or you're not trying to hurt anyone. But at the same time, you know, hey, you've got to think twice about coming in the paint and thinking you're just going to walk to the bucket. And so it was very clear that that's what woke the team up because I'll be honest with you, for the first quarter and a half, they still had the Miami flu. And then once that happened, they woke up, they went on a run, took control of the game, and they won a game that, quite frankly, they should have won going away, and they did it.
Daryl, great stuff as always. Thanks for making time for us. Keep up the fantastic work, and we'll talk again soon. All right, pal?
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me as always.
Daryl Ryder, Browns beat reporter, Cavs beat reporter, does it all for 92.3 The Fan. Follow him on Twitter at RyderWrongFan.